Greetings, Pilgrim Partners, the Word of God from Paul's letter to the Romans this morning. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was a headline in a magazine caught my eye this week. The headline was Christian Schools versus Conveyor Belts. So, of course, you got to read that. Wonder what's going on here. Now, I'm not necessarily reading this with approval, but I'm going to read it to you. It's a little paragraph, not very long. Christian schools should teach children to resist superficial happiness, the kind that comes too easily. They should want their graduates to be restless selves rather than diverted selves, to be dislocated humans rather than happy chimps. They should recognize that a lack of self-esteem can hurt, but unearned self-esteem can hurt even more. Do you know what he's talking about yet? I suppose we could buy into this superficial happiness one. Yeah, we would not foster superficial happiness, perhaps thinking of worldly happiness or sinful happiness. No, we don't like that. Substantive happiness, yeah, we're into that. But Mr. Percy here talks a lot about self. He talks about diverted selves. He talks about restless selves. He talks about self-esteem. He thinks we should have be restless selves and dislocated humans. Actually, reading this gives me a chance to talk about something using more familiar biblical terminology. All these examples of self remind me of a passage where God, in His work of saving mankind, withdraws human self from the picture. As a matter of fact, Jesus said once, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Secular sources repeatedly use the concept of self-esteem, there's self again, to promote good mental health, to talk about a foundation for rejecting the undesirable behaviors, as a source of inner strength and confidence. In this scenario, the source of inner strength and feeling is the self. The well-being of you and me, according to what these folks like to say, is what's in here. Now, the work of God recognizes that there are limitations of self. As a matter of fact, there's utter depravity in the self. The devastation of sin and the devastation from sin needs a rescue, needs a Savior, needs the love of God to send His Son to stand in our place, this perfect, holy, sinless one. One who would accept the burden of our sins, for the Lord laid on Him our iniquity and take it away through an atoning death on the cross of Calvary. Our sins are all forgiven, out of the picture, gone. Yes, God wants us to have an inner confidence. Like the Apostle Paul here talks about, I am persuaded, I am convinced, I am confident. But it is a confidence within, in Christ. And a thankfulness for what He's done for us on the cross. This determines who we are. not some restless, diverted self, not depending on some praise for personal identity, but each one of us a child of God, bought and paid for through the blood of the Savior Jesus Christ. This impels us to a type of living that is mirroring God's expectations for human behavior through a strength we get from Him rather than some supposed moral inner goodness. This is a scenario that shuns behaviors displeasing to God and displays the victory Christ won as personally ours. I'm going to read this passage again. I'm using a different translation. It talks about the confidence that we have. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Death can't, and life can't, the angels can't, and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Praise be to our God. Amen. Need